sleep there in the country sun.
Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. And it's also The Garden Line every Tuesday morning at this time with our host, Mike Wiggins. And it was our host who picked this song because, well, a week ago we were at, what, 30 degrees?
It's just, we're just comparatively speaking here. And I did. That's one of our favorite songs, by the way, is our Sly and the Family Stone,
mm-hmm.
Hot Fun in the Summertime. Well, it's not summertime yet.
But it's a heck of a lot better.
But here we go. You ready?
Yes, sir.
This is today through Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
High temperatures, 73.
Yes.
75.
Yes.
74.
Yes.
74.
Wow.
72. And sunshine.
Yay.
Yay, team.
Yay, team.
So much better.
Florida is back.
And we can get out and do a little gardening and planting and pre-emergence. We'll talk about that in just a second. But I did want to mention just a couple of things before we go.
Okay.
One, driving to the studio, the fog is really heavy.
Be careful.
I think it's going to, burn off soon enough, but be so careful.
It's really low, and even just on the expressways,
exactly.
But I went to some of the side streets this morning, and just that's when it's really unusual, when it's dropped into the neighborhoods.
Right. Coming down Spanish Trail.
Yep. Yes.
It was really,
really. That's
really
where I was.
Bad.
Yeah, it was really bad.
Exactly.
So be careful.
Exactly. No doubt about it. And plus, we have to mention what a week it's been with the Olympics.
Oh my
and
gosh!
The Super Bowl.
I know.
Amazing Super Bowl. We cannot take a step. I'm away from the Super Bowl without congratulating Devon Witherspoon.
I know. Isn't that exciting?
A Pine Forest graduate, basketball player,
mm-hmm.
didn't play football until his junior
That's
year.
That's what I heard. I was so
now
surprised.
Now he is known all over the world as one
mm-hmm.
of the best defensive players ever. Plays, of course, for Seattle. And what a great local story.
Yeah.
We've got some great, because I noticed that they also had part of the Super Bowl introduction of some of the old Hall of Famers.
Yes.
And out walks Emmitt Smith. Absolutely.
I thought that was so cool.
So we've got some great athletes, but he's one of the newest ones to be recognized, and congratulations to him.
And they interviewed him after the game, which was so cool.
Right.
And he was a standout, and he made some big plays.
Oh, he did.
He was a standout
in
the game.
It's just great. Also, we got the Olympics.
Oh my gosh! I stayed up late watching it last night.
Did you? Which ones? What did you watch?
I love the Winter Olympics, so I was watching the free dancing ice skaters.
I watched some of that too.
Oh my!
How can they
gosh,
do that?
Gosh, I don't know. I mean, they've gotten so advanced from when I was a little kid watching. But I also was intrigued by the downhill skiers, and they were doing the slalom runs, the fast one. Those guys were going, they were clocking them at 90 miles an hour.
Can you believe that?
On skis.
Yes.
I mean, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, that's just crazy.
And then poor Lindsey Vonn.
Oh, I know.
Who is just a great representative to the United States as a downhill skier.
Yeah, that was just.
Fell and, of course, really busted her leg bad.
Yeah, that was awful.
That was awful. But you're right. I watched some of those downhill guys.
Oh, my God.
From 90 miles an hour.
I can't even. I mean, think about that. In a car, it's scary,
let alone. Like falling out of your car.
Right. Because I was thinking, I can barely get up to 70 in my car. So
exactly.
I was thinking,
that's
skis?
Exactly right.
Oh,
so
my God. The athletic skills, these guys that train for, they're all doing it all the time. I mean, the Olympics is the pinnacle of it all. But, I mean, some of them have been, some of the skaters had been together for 12 and 15 years.
Right, and they started out when they were like three.
Yeah, exactly. Just really something. Yeah.
Anyway, this is your Garden Line current events show tonight. We do have a lot to talk about.
Well, I was going to say to you, the first thing I said, you know what today is? It's February 10th. And
very
since
close.
I was trained by the best, this weekend is the 14th and then the 15th.
Yeah.
There's some things we're supposed to be doing, and we may be able to do it this weekend, right?
Who was the weather? Who was that guy? That said?
Who was that guy? I think it was Mike Wiggins, the host of Garden Line.
Well,
and by the way, 850-437-1620, if you've got a question that's been burning on gardening in your mind all week.
Oh, yes, please. We'd love to hear from you. But, yes, it is getting very close. I mean, days, if you will, to when we can apply our pre-emergence weed killer.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we're going to do, especially with these 70-degree temperatures, some of these weeds are going to start coming
suddenly
up,
come alive, right?
Especially if we don't have any more cold weather. So we need to put our pre-emergence on there. And you've got to be careful. You've got to be very careful. One is use the right chemical. We always talk about using atrazine, which is a very good one. But what I did this morning before I came to the studio, I kind of Googled pre-emergence weed killers.
Oh.
It's very interesting what is out there insofar as products are concerned. And one of the articles, Meg, had a kind of a spreadsheet of this is good about this product, this is bad about this product. And much of the bad about the product was, or let's say one of the things was it was good, except it's not good for St. Augustine grass.
Oh.
It's not good for centipede grass. And because it can do grave damage. Even one of them that said good for St. Augustine had one of the comments from just one of the users saying, I still had some damage in my in my grass. So we've got to be very careful about, number one, picking the right product. And the key to that is to look on that label, read that fine print. You'll need your reading glasses for that because it's in fine print that says, okay to use for St. Augustine, centipede, zoysia, whatever you've got. Because sometimes in the fine print it will say, it's good for this, but it's bad for that.
Right.
So be very very careful about that. Talk to your local garden center guy. Go to him, find somebody who's knowledgeable and say, all right, what are you selling today as a pre-emergence? Also, what we don't want to do, and how many times have we said this, we do not want to use the weed and feed products.
Right.
You'll see the ads saying, keep weeds from coming up, fertilize at the same time. Just don't do it because the fertilize at the same time is wrong. We're going to wait and fertilize later. So you can take an atrazine, a liquid, if you will, and put it in a sprayer. You can use a hose attachment sprayer. You can use a pump-up sprayer. But you've got to do the math. If it's 1 tablespoonful per gallon, 1 gallon per 1,000 square feet, I just made up those numbers.
But, right.
You know, you got to follow the label. You don't want to say, well, you know, if I can put it on 1,000 square feet, I'm going to double up and put it on 2,000 square feet. Don't do it.
More is not necessarily better.
It's like, you know, playing poker, you know, to double up to catch up. It doesn't work like that.
You know.
So you've got to be very, very careful with that. And of course, I want you to use all precautions. And we talked about this last week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, wear some shoes that you only use when you do this kind of thing. Long pants, no shorts. Long sleeve shirt, get out that old COVID mask and put it on.
Gloves.
Oh, absolutely. But also, you know, I think some safety glasses are a good idea.
Really?
Also,
you think? Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I think so. Just take all precautions because this stuff is strong.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to get it in your eyes. You don't want to breathe it if you don't have to. So just be very, very careful. Also, some people at this time of year will say, all right, I'm going to get my lawn ready for this pre-emergence. I'm going to cut it real low, cut off any of these winter weeds that come up, and I'm going to spray it. Well, that's the last thing you want to do. Keep that lawnmower at that same level that you were mowing your lawn in August.
Uh-huh.
Don't lower it. Do not lower it at all. But if you've got a major weed problem, this is the time coming up, middle of the month, as soon as you can get to it, following the 15th, would be beneficial.
Okay.
No doubt about it. Just be careful.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break here. This is The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins on Pep Talk. If you've got a question or comment, now's the time to send it in. Send it in at 850-437-1620. We'll be right back with more tips on how you can take care of your lawn and get ready for spring. Welcome back to the Garden Line on Pep Talk. I'm Meg. Mike Wiggins is here, your host. Time to send in those questions about gardening because we're getting into it now. Spring is on its way. 850-437-1620. Got a question this morning right away. I don't have a name for it, but from one of our listeners. Okay, listen to this one, Mike. We've talked about this before, and that's what the listener says. So I know Mike has answered this before, but I need some more clarification on pruning my crepe myrtles. I pruned mine this past weekend and tried to do it conservatively, only cutting the small limbs about the size of a pencil. When I was done, I found myself feeling worried that the trees are going to be huge come this spring and summer when they get their new growth, perhaps larger than I would want them to be. But I definitely don't want to commit crepe murder and don't want the big knuckles I see on so many of them. Thanks.
Well, and that's so true.
Crepe
and
murder.
The more I drive around town, the more I'm a witness to crepe murder.
Oh,
I'm
going
to be
no.
called into court.
Oh, no.
It's horrible. Really, on the crepe myrtle, I think we can be real simple with some of this. Crepe myrtles are going to bloom on new growth. That's what they do. So if you take that all that new growth from last year and cut it back, say a third, leave some of the new growth on from last year, mm-hmm. some of the old growth now, but cut that crepe myrtle back about a third, you'll be fine. Now keep in mind, and the texter is absolutely right, if you don't do anything, just say, I don't want to do it. I would like a larger crepe myrtle.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do anything. Because
mm-hmm.
it'll grow, the new growth will come, and it will bloom. But the problem is when you come too deep, if you cut that, if that crepe myrtle is 15 feet high and you cut it back to 6 feet,
mm-hmm.
then you have probably committed crepe murder.
Ooh.
It'll bloom.
Mm-hmm.
It'll put on new growth and it'll bloom, but it'll be real thin. And they call that witch's broom.
Oh, well, yeah, I've never heard that before.
That new growth mm-hmm. that's coming out of that crepe myrtle if you cut it back that far. But you can drive around town in some of the older neighborhoods,
mm-hmm.
and you're right. There's some of the crepe myrtles that they have a kind of a big knot on them, as big as a basketball.
What causes that?
Well, they just keep cutting it back.
Oh,
cutting it back
I
to
see.
That level every year. And sure enough, it'll come up. But it's not a pretty tree
mm-hmm.
if you do that. So I like cutting it back about a third. You can even go a little less than that. And I think it'll look good for you. I appreciate cutting out all those little spindly limbs. That's
mm-hmm.
a great idea. She
right.
did the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she's going to be just fine. But,
okay.
Just don't want to go too much lower.
Okay. 850-437-1620. This is the Garden Line, and we welcome your text and comments if you have a question for Mike. He is our expert on the expert panel.
Well, let me say one thing we need to do this time of year. It's time to plant deciduous trees that lose their leaves, shade trees,
mm-hmm.
if you will, in many respects. And some do well in Pensacola, some don't do so well. I thought it might be fun just to kind of go down the list
yeah.
quickly and look at some of them that will do well. And here's the first one is one that over the years has had some controversy, and that's dogwood trees.
Oh,
yeah.
Why controversy?
Because over the years,
they're so pretty when they bloom.
Oh, they are. They won't go back in time. But they had a disease. And if I'm not mistaken, the disease kind of originated in Tennessee.
Huh.
Because a lot of the dogwood trees that you get, as a matter of fact, a lot of the deciduous trees you get come out of Tennessee. And there was a quarantine on them.
Oh, no kidding.
I'm talking decades ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so the dogwoods, even the ones that were planted, just didn't have the vigor that you wanted a dogwood tree to have, the beautiful white blooms. But I have noticed in my neighborhood in the last 4 or 5 years, they really are looking good now, much better. So you need to be sure you have a good, healthy dogwood tree if you want to plant it. A dogwood tree will not be adverse to be planted in a semi-shady area, but it'll also grow in the full sun. So,
which is better, do you think?
Well, I like the sun. It's maybe a little bit of pine tree shade.
Mm-hmm.
I think that really makes it look nice. But plant one, and this is Latin. the variety you want is Cornus Florida.
Hmm.
Cornus Florida. That's a good dogwood tree. But if you're sitting there saying, you know, I really want a red dogwood. I've lived in Atlanta and Chicago.
All the pinks. And
all the pinks, and they're gorgeous. Not so much.
Oh, no.
Not so much here. But there is one, if you can find it. Mm-hmm. It's called Welch's Junior Miss.
Really? And that's a little departure from the Latin names.
As opposed to...
As in Welch's grape juice?
That's right. That's exactly right.
Like a lavender color?
Exactly. Now,
really?
I think it was developed over in South Alabama. because they grow a lot of trees and stuff over there also. But Welch's Junior Miss is the one you want, kind of a pinkish, reddish of dogwood tree. So be aware that they've had trouble in the past, but they are a beautiful tree, and you may want to give it a shot.
Are they high maintenance?
No, not. Oh, no. They're gonna grow in spite of yourself. I mean, a little fertilization is good. I like just if you were, say you're going to fertilize your lawn with the old 16-08 we talk about that has obviously no weed killer in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, put some of that around the dogwood in the spring. That's really all you need. Some people use, Meg, they use what they call plant stakes, which is fertilizer that is in a hard stake, I'm going to say about 5 or 6 inches long, and they hammer those around the perimeter of the drip line of a tree.
Hmm.
A lot of palm tree people will do that because some of these plant stakes contain magnesium sulfate, which palm trees like.
Mm-hmm.
But they have a general fertilizer in them that dogwood trees would like also. That makes it real easy. And it makes it slow. The fertilizer of dissolving is very slow. And so you probably have to do it one time a year.
Oh,
is all you
great.
Have to do. Exactly. So you might think of that when you're fertilizing really any of these trees that we're talking about.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break talking about some trees that you can take care of now as we get into spring with Mike Wiggins on the Garden Line, 850-437-1620. This is Pep Talk. This is the Garden Line on Pep Talk. Having a couple of comments coming in this morning, Mike. This one says that, let's see, I have a white dogwood, and then it says, last in town, ?
Oh, no, there are a lot of them in town. And that's, we talked about the variety Cornus Florida.
Right.
That, of course, is a white dogwood.
Oh, okay.
And that's the one you're going to see. This Welch's Junior Miss we talked about are going to be few and far between.
Gotcha. Okay. So they're still there.
they're still there. But this is the time to plant them.
Okay.
This is the time because it's a deciduous tree. It's dormant. You need to, plant it correctly. I like to put a little organic material like peat moss in the hole, add water to the hole, plant your tree. Have just the top, if it's coming out of a container, have the top of the root ball just a little bit above ground level. And then water it good when you plant it and mulch it with some pine straw.
Sounds great.
Remember where we buy pine straw nowadays? Remember that one?
Yes. Oh, I should remember the name, but I don't. But
Lucky's.
Yes, thank you. Lucky's Pine Straw. Okay.
Exactly.
And another text came in, 850-437-1620. This is from Mike, and it says, hey, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Now is a good time to trim my peach tree.
Yes, it is. And let me talk about that in just a second.
Yeah.
Peaches, plums, pears, apples are all great trees that many varieties will grow well here. Many varieties won't. You've got to talk to your local nursery guy about that. And insofar as pruning, some trees want to be pruned into a scaffolding situation where the limbs kind of come out parallel to the ground. Some of these fruit trees want to have an open pruning.
Mm-hmm.
You really need to do research on the variety of fruit tree that you've got to. And the internet's full of this stuff.
Right.
And which will tell you exactly how that particular tree would like to be pruned. Yes, this is a good time to do it right now. And some people, if you just want to be careful, just cut out some of the crossing branches, there may be some dead branches, some of the smaller branches, like the lady did on the crepe myrtle.
Right.
Be sure the branches are at least the size of a pencil. You may want to cut some of those off. But it's some ways to do it. I always say if you're going to get into the fruit tree business, the Escambia County Extension Service is a great resource to tell you exactly what variety you've got. Some varieties need a pollinator. Some don't.
Okay.
So you've got to be careful which one you're buying and talk to a nurseryman that knows what he's selling. And Larry at Pensacola Seed and Garden is one of the best.
Okay. So much great information already this morning with Mike Wiggins, the host of The Garden Line. Mike's going to be back for the next half hour, so there's plenty of time to get those questions and comments in. Please send them in at 850-437-1620. We're going to take a break for the news now, and then we'll be back. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. And you know, on Tuesday mornings, this is also The Garden Line, hosted by Mike Wiggins. And we've got a lot of texts rolling in. So please, if you have a question, get it in now at 850-437-1620. Mike, who we just answered the question the previous half hour, one of our listeners, says, thanks, Mike.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
He was asking about the peach tree and when to trim that. And he said, he's asking about height. Does that make a difference? Because his tree is about 12 to 15 feet
I would
tall.
No. I would not. I think so. As a matter of fact, I think if you start, the tree would probably be okay mm-hmm. if you pruned some of that top down. I don't think you want to top it. I just think that's the wrong thing to do. Plus, you would lose production.
No, right.
I wouldn't worry about it. What I would do is go back to what we said and find out what variety you've got mm-hmm. and what is the best way to prune it, be it with a scaffolding pruning or the opening it up type
okay.
pruning. So those two choices I think are important, depending on the variety.
I think it's pretty cool. He has a peach tree. Because I said to Mike at the break, I always think of orange and citrus and fig trees here,
yeah.
but I didn't realize you could grow peach trees
apple,
here.
Apples, pears,
really?
Plums. Oh, yeah. You can grow them. It's just very important to get the right variety.
Okay.
That's critical because it's like apples. I love to talk about apples because the apples you want are they call them the Israeli apples.
Mm-hmm.
They were developed in Israel,
uh-huh.
and they will grow here. But you need a pollinator for those, and they will grow. But you want to, when you go to Publix and buy nice, big, red, delicious apples.
Right.
No. It's not going to work.
Just checking.
No. You want to get that other variety.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right. Some other questions coming in. Here's one, Mike. From one of our listeners, when to trim monkey grass?
Good question. I would wait. I wouldn't do it yet. It's kind of like pruning your shrubbery after the cold. I think I would wait until we're out of a hard freeze and then go ahead and prune it because it's going to come back. You know that. But yes, that's when I would wait till let's get into spring and prune that. So you know what you could do? You could prune them the same time you prune your azaleas.
When is that?
Right after they bloom.
okay.
Whenever you say they've had it, the blooming time is over,
mm-hmm.
then you can do whatever pruning you want to do. But their buds are set right now. And monkey grass probably be a good time, and you could prune at the same time.
Okay, great advice. And this is The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. He always does just a great job. I mean, any question that comes in, he has an answer.
Well, I hope they're right. but insofar as the monkey grass is concerned, that is also the name of monkey grass, Liriope.
Mm.
And if you're going to plant it, a lot of people have a natural area, and they will take monkey grass, Liriope, if you will, using the evergreen giant Liriope. That's a variety that really will do well here. It grows a little taller. And if you have a natural area and you want to put ground covers in there, you can do that. But a lot of people will plant Liriope, monkey grass, if you will, on about, let's say, 2 to 3 foot centers. That's each of them is that far away from each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm using that evergreen giant Liriope is a great one. It really is.
They look great, yeah.
Oh, it looks really good.
It's really pretty.
It has a nice green color, and it'll give you that purple bloom usually later in the season. Right.
Okay, got some more questions coming in. If you've got a question for Mike on The Garden Line, 850-437-1620. This one is from Forrest. Forrest asks, Mike, what's your recommended lawn spray for weeds in zoysia?
I think that atrazine would be good. Now, I'm going to go back to all the things I talked about on the chemicals. Sure, you could go to a garden center right now, get a bag of atrazine, and take it home. But be sure it has the word zoysia on the label. Either way, yes, good for zoysia or no, bad for zoysia. Whatever, just so that label addresses zoysia grass in relation to the chemical that you're buying. That's really, really important. Yes.
Okay.
Now, one thing about, let's go back to the pre-emergence, and this is a great call. I appreciate this. One, be sure you've got a weed problem.
Oh, what do you mean by that?
I mean, you may have, your grass may have had some weeds here, there, and it's not that big a deal.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't necessarily do any of my weed killing unless I've had a weed problem, say, last year, or one that you think you're going to have this year.
Right.
There's no sense in using a chemical on your grass if you don't need to. Keep in mind, let's take dollarweed, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You can always come back with, a pump-up sprayer using a chemical called Trimec later in the season. It is too early to use those chemicals now. But let's say April and May, when that dollarweed is popping up here and there, put it in a pump-up sprayer, then just go spray just where the dollarweed is, as opposed to having spray this atrazine over your whole yard. Now, most people are going to say, hey, I got a weed problem, and this is, I need to know how to solve it. That atrazine is good.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. But my point is, any of these chemicals, if you really don't need them, or if it's just a little problem here and there that you can handle another way, you might want to consider that.
Okay.
A lot of that is just safety, environmental, that type of thing.
Okay. Okay, good advice. Thank you, Forrest, for that question. And one of our regulars, Carolyn. Good morning to you, Carolyn.
How are you?
She's on a whole other topic now.
All right, let's move on.
Okay, she says, something is eating my satsuma trees. And she says, love your program. I guess asking what to do about that. I guess now is the time that the bugs get hungry too. Is that?
Oh, absolutely.
Springtime.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, it's a little early for that, especially after that cold.
Yeah.
Freeze.
Yeah. She sent a picture. It's definitely showing some.
Yeah. Exactly.
Evidence.
It could be one time, not one time, but we'll find mites that will do it.
Really?
Mites will get on there. Absolutely. And you'll also get the ones that send a little trail through the leaves. They're kind of between the level of the leaves. And that's where you're using chemicals to control it is very, very dicey.
Hmm.
You don't want to use any type of systemic insecticide on your fruit trees because the word systemic tells it all. That means the chemical gets in the system, into the tree system. And if you're going to have fruit, you don't want to have that. So you need to get an insecticide that is not systemic to do it. Now, it depends on what it is. If it's worms on there, you can always use some of the, let's say, 7-Dust, something very mild, non-toxic at all. You could use that type of thing. But if she sent a picture, the next break, I want to come around and look at it. And maybe I can be more precise as what to use.
Okay.
But you got to be careful on that citrus, what you use and what you don't use.
Right.
Right.
Okay, this is The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. Thanks, Carolyn, for sending in that question. And we still have time for your questions. So if something's been on your mind and maybe you just looked out the window this morning and thought, I got to start thinking about what to do with my yard and my lawn and my garden, now is the time to start doing it. 850-437-1620. This is The Garden Line on Pep Talk with Mike Wiggins. We'll be right back. Good morning. This is Pep Talk and The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. Had a question from Carolyn earlier about her satsuma, and she's got something eating it. Looks
the picture was kind of hard to tell. It looked like there might have been some scale on there. Here's two solutions that I would recommend. One, as we get out of the chances of getting into the 20 degrees, which is probably, maybe 30 days or so, use some ultrafine oil.
Mm-hmm.
Ultrafine oil is a great product to use on your ornamental shrubbery, and any other plants that have insects, for example, like that looks a little bit like scale. However, if you want something to kind of cover all the bases, Fertilome, which is a brand name, makes a fruit tree spray, which would be perfect for that because, one, it's developed for fruit trees, and it would kill a whole host of varmints that are affecting your tree. So look for that. And go back to the one I like to talk about is that leaf miner. A leaf miner is the one I talked about that leaves kind of a trail through the leaf, and it's between the layers of the leaf. And that's the one you do not want to use any kind of systemic for. And really, there's not much one can do about those. You have to kind of live with it, and it won't affect the whole tree, just maybe on one limb. So anyway, that's a little bit about fruit trees.
Okay. Got a listener on the line. Rob is on the line. Rob, you're live on the air. You said you had a question for Mike.
What do you say, Rob?
Morning.
Good morning.
I have what appears to be a mole digging up my centipede lawn.
Oh.
And I put down bug killer three times, three different types of bug killer, and I've also put down a mole repellent, and I haven't had any success. So wondering if you had any suggestions.
Well, let me tell you this. We used to do a television show called The Garden Spot on Blab TV.
That's right.
It did for years and years and years.
Somebody was telling me that the other day about you, by the way.
Yeah, and that's right. And you know the number one question over the whole years we did it? The mole question.
Yeah, I hate to tell you, Rob, as soon as you start talking, he starts smiling.
Because, I mean, we have faced that. That is the toughest problem ever. Let me just say a few things about that. One, if you live next to a wooded area or next to an area where there's construction, say a new homes are going up, your chances of having a mold problem have increased. Now, what do you do about it? Number one, I would use a granular insecticide. It sounds like you probably already have done that. Diazinon is just another chemical. Spectracide makes one. There's a lot of them on the market. They usually come in about a 10-pound bag. And what you want to do is to go ahead and put those especially along your perimeter of your property. Say you've got, say you're fenced in, put it about 5 or 6 feet inside and just kind of sprinkle it around. Follow the instructions. It'll tell you how many square feet you can cover. Or there's some little called Molgo, the little pellets that you put into the run. And supposedly they eat that and then they're gone. But let me tell you what, dealing with the moles has really generated over the years some great urban legends. What do you do about taking care of the moles? Take some gloves, take some juicy fruit gum, roll it up and put it inside the run because they eat that and they're gone. Next time you get a haircut, get some hair, or just cut your own hair, and take some human hair and put it in that run where that mole is. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that works. I'm telling you, the reason you have all those urban legends is that a lot of the chemicals and such that you use are not as effective as you want them to be, as you have learned. Whenever you see the run, of course, if you stomp it down, get it back down to ground level. And one last thing, and this is really important. The moles are not eating your grass. They're after the insects. So what you need to see is wherever you see your grass maybe look like it's drying out, even though you're watering it on a regular basis, go back and water it extra to try to get those roots that they've loosened up to regenerate and come back, if you will. So you might want to try any of those remedies for the moles, but the watering, I think, is the most important because, once again, they're not after your grass. They're after bugs, and that's why then they run through your lawn and they loosen it up and it dries out. So watch the water, and then you may want to try a little juicy fruit gum. I don't know.
I didn't even know they still made juicy fruit.
And if you do, call us back and let us know. Well, that's just what some people say.
Hope that was helpful, Rob.
Rob, I don't know if it was or not.
He's in shock now.
Poor Rob. Rob, it is.
I'm willing.
Go ahead.
I'm willing to try anything.
I hear you. What kind of grass did you say you had?
It's centipede, and yes, we do. We do back up to woods behind the.
Yeah, exactly,
the house,
exactly.
So.
And centipede grass was probably the worst insofar as reacting to those moles. Sometimes with St. Augustine grass, you don't have quite the problem, nor the zoysia. But centipede seems to be the one that seems to be affected more by the moles. So I wish you well. Let us know how things work, will you?
Thanks,
right,
Rob.
Appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for calling us. We appreciate that.
Thank you for calling in. We appreciate it. And if you've got a comment or if you want to text in a question, just a couple minutes left here on the Garden Line with Mike. We're going to take a quick break. 850-437-1620. This is Pep Talk. Good morning. This is the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. Okay, Valentine's Day coming up.
Oh, no.
And you're the flowers expert.
And, you know, we...
I was asking him, what roses are best?
We've got about 2 hours worth of talk about roses. But here we go. If you're going to... A good Valentine's gift would be go to your garden center, be sure they've got the roses in containers. Don't buy them wrapped in plastic. Be sure it's in a container. Has a nice tag on it. Tell them what it is. Here's what you need to buy. Buy a number one grade rose. And here's some names to look for. You ready?
Yes.
And these are going to be, first of all, these are hybrid tea roses.
Ooh,
long
pretty.
Stem roses.
Yeah.
They're also floribundas and grandifloras. We'll talk about those another day. But you want to buy the long stem tea roses. Here's some names. Peace Rose. Double Delight. Chrysler Imperial.
Ooh.
Tropicana. Has been around forever. It's got these coral-colored flowers, strong scent to it. That would be one to find for sure. Then you got some new ones here. Dark Night. Dark red large flowers with pale yellow underside petals.
Ooh.
You know. So anyway, those are some of the names of the tea roses that you may want to buy for Valentine's Day, because this is the time to do it. And, of course, we've talked about if you have roses at home, this is the time to prune them here on Valentine's Day.
Yes,
exactly.
Perfect. Okay.
You got to tell your favorite Valentine's, pardon me, I've got to go out and prune the roses. but anyway, that's the time to do it. We really need to get into some roses on a future show if we can, because there's a lot to know.
Mm-hmm.
And we always tell people this. I think we mentioned this before. You look at someone's roses in their yard and you say, gosh, those are gorgeous. I want to get into that. I'm going to go buy me a dozen roses and plant them. Don't do it. Don't do that. Plant two or three.
There you go.
A couple of
small.
Plant a hybrid tea. Get us a couple of those.
Mm-hmm.
Plant a floribunda, which is a lower growing rose, cluster of blooms. Maybe go a grandiflora, which is a larger growing rose with big blossoms. So let that be it. And then plant them in the full sun. Then do some research, because roses can be high maintenance. They'll get diseases like black spot and powdery mildew. They need fertilizing once a month for sure. They really need to be watered from the bottom. You don't want to water them every time from the top, because that'll promote disease. And enjoy. It's a hobby that a lot of people have, and they really like it.
Okay. Got a quick question we're trying to squeeze in here from one of our listeners, from Vernon, and he asks, when and how to trim evergreen bushes that look like a pine and comes to a point at the top but bushy around the bottom?
I wouldn't do it. I think that sounds like a juniper of some type. I have, matter of fact, I have a couple in my house of a blue point juniper. It's a juniper, and it grows, I'm going to say, almost like a Christmas tree, if you will, but it doesn't need to be topped. You don't want to do that. You could do some pruning off, judicious pruning on the side, but I wouldn't prune it from the top down if it's what I'm thinking it is.
Okay,
You want to let it grow up. They're slow growers. They don't grow very fast.
Okay.
So that's what I would
Thank you so much, Vernon. We were going to talk about, we may get some cold weather, right, sir?
Well, we just might. It's only February, and it's only early February. I think we will. I don't want it, but I think we will.
We just might. Mike Wiggins on the Garden Line. If you'd like to hear this again and you can take notes, we always post the podcast on newsradio923.com. Click on podcast, click on the Garden Line, and you can hear this show or every show he's ever done. This is the Garden Line on Pep Talk.